Okay, just a quick update for the tent as well before we get into it. This week we managed to get the insurer to finally bring someone to come and inspect. So now we have different quotations that the insurance needs. If you know a fabricator, they need more than one. We have two. We need one more to come and just look and quote. So if you know one who is reliable, please speak to myself or Ben after this. Okay. So let's get to it. Today I want us to focus on life maps. Tell your neighbor life maps. But more than anything else, we are going to narrow in on the life map of Jesus Christ, the reason for the season. And you know, amongst all religions, amongst all religions, Christianity is one whereby there is one claim that has been put forward about our Lord and Savior not only dying but resurrecting. No other religion makes any claim such that the existence of resurrection, that the cross and resurrection and this entire season remains to be one of the most important critical hallmarks that define Christianity as a whole. Because, you know, it's more than just Christmas, and it is more than any other festival or holiday, because every claim that Christ made is centralized upon this specific fact, whereby when he comes and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And in a way, in all these other things he's saying, you know, when he was with the disciples, I have gone ahead to prepare a home for each and every one of us. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And you know, all the other religions have prophets who make prophetic claims and prophetic things that they utter and say, but none go so far as to making radical claims about being able to find the final victory over death. All others skirt around the issue. And all others will always leave a loophole. You know, we are not yet sure what will happen, but they try and paint a picture that this is what happens by chance. But it is only in Christianity whereby Christ makes a solid claim and says, I am the way. There is no other alternative route. There is no other alternative path. There is no other alternative think around to get to where we need to get through. You have to get through the way. And that's why it's very essential. And you know, more than anything else before, or more than anything else as well, this is a time to really drill in on the fact that we have been given a second chance. We can be hopeful all over again. And you know, more than Easter bunnies, Easter eggs, Easter what? Easter pork for others. More than Easter pork, Easter beef, Easter chicken, Easter all other things, they are in pale comparison to what Christ has done and the significance of this specific season. And you know, there is no other religion whereby God was so concerned towards rescuing man that he sends himself to be able to ensure that this job is done and it is done perfectly. There is no other religion whereby that God loved us even before we loved him, and he takes that first step of saying, let me come and reach out to man. There is no other that says, you know, even as I am coming, and I am coming and I am receiving hate in the process. And in the process of me coming and reconciling myself back to my people, that the same people are showing rejection. That it is within the same breath that he comes and he has to carry and to endure weeping and to endure being put thorns on his head, but still, because you know, I imagine at one point, if he was a human being, he would be like, but these people are ungrateful. Why should I continue? I mean, see a must. See lazima. See lazima. You know, there are times you're like, hey, nyewe, si lazima. But still, he perseveres all that. He walks through all that. All so that we can be reconciled back to him. All so that we can have a relationship with him. All so that our timelines and our life maps would not remain the same. Because the introduction of Christ in any life map ought to bring a radical shift in our life maps. And this is the emphasis of what we want to emphasize today. That it is not just, it can't be business as usual in our life maps when Christ is introduced in our life maps. Do not accept a life that remains the same even with Christ being in your life map. Do not allow it to be same old, when Christ, the hope of glory, is in your life map. Okay, a few quotes as we proceed. So, John Piper says this, that the best news of the Christian gospel is that the supremely glorious creator of the universe has acted in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to remove every obstacle between us and himself, so that we may find everlasting joy in seeing and savoring his infinite beauty. That the resurrection, another quote by Joseph B. Withlin, the resurrection is at the core of our beliefs as Christians. Without it, our faith is meaningless. Then the last one. The message of Easter is not that Jesus is alive. It is so much more. The message of Easter is that Jesus has risen, by Colin Smith. And you know, there are several things that happened. I'm preempting myself. But there are several things that happened as he was there on the cross, as he was dying. One, previously, let me refresh. Previously, we talked about how going into the Holy of Holies was a very interesting exercise. One, it had to be done by a high priest. And this high priest, as he comes, if Frank is a high priest, for instance, Frank, high priest, please come. So if Frank is a high priest, one, he can only come into the Holy of Holies once in a year to come and bring sacrifices on behalf of all people. And then, you know, as we are sending him, one, he is going with some blood of atonement. Imagine this is blood of atonement. Two, as he is going, we are not sure if that will be enough. So we are tying a rope on his legs. And we're like, you know, brother, we thank you for being our high priest. As we are sending you forth, please carry all our guilt, all our sins.
Ben, is that the rope? Okay.
No, this used to happen.
Phobia. Childhood trauma.
So, we are clearly trying to ensure that if he does not come back, we drag his body out. So, here we are as a congregation. We are here now, we have come, we have confessed, and we are sending him forth. So he is being prepared. He has a special clothing to put on. That will do. So you can imagine. The court, the holy place, you know, Psalms talks about enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. So there were layers. So Frank, as the high priest, has come. He is coming with thanksgiving and praise. So he has come now to the place where we can no longer see him. So we are trusting that if anything goes wrong, that we will yank his body. If we do not hear, and the string had a bell. If we do not continue hearing the jingle as he moves, then we know we are in trouble. We know, enyewe, as a community, we have sinned so much that what we gave him is not even a laugh. And you know, all this, we had to slaughter an animal, a lamb without blemish. So Frank, as a high priest, is going into the holy place to go and represent our sins and to ask for forgiveness. And he could only do that once. And there was a huge curtain. If this curtain were here, imagine it bigger than, you can't see inside. But you know, one of the things that happened when Christ was hanging on the cross is that as he was dying, that there was a tear for the first time for that curtain all the way down. And it was perpendicular type of a tear in my mind. And you know what that means was that which was a separation no longer became a separation. And that, you know, in effect it means that Ben as a community leader does not require Frank anymore to enter in. In a way, Frank as a high priest has not been rendered, what's the term? Redundant. It is that all of us have been upgraded. Yeah. It was not a redundancy for Frank. It was an upgrade for all of us. Yeah. Yeah. Such that in this instance, you do not wait for Frank as a high priest to go before God, but that you as Ben, early in the morning on Monday, as you are there, you can be able to enter into the holy place. Yeah. That you as Val, early in the morning, you are there in the business. You do not wait. You can be able to enter in. That is the essence of what we sometimes we forget. That place where there was no access, that now there is access. That which seemed as if you are unsure, have I sinned and have I prayed enough? You know, there are days you can wake up, have I prayed enough? And you're like, you're hearing Frankie saying, let's go before the Lord. You're like, oh Jesus, yesterday I was dying. So what will happen? Yesterday, as you were saying Good Friday, not yesterday, as you are in the process of Good Friday, you are Good Fridaying. You are dundying with some other beats. That's what I mean. Well, I always advocate, please, you know, some of these things, on a Saturday, as you're preparing for Sunday, it can be a distraction. But at the same time, is to say, That in itself is not an excuse for you not to enter in. You know, one of the hallmarks of what we were discussing, or my table was discussing when I missed that discussion. I'm telling you, my table refuses to be loyal. Well, I thought they were like, no. Ish. So they showed a very cool, which I've even sent to a few others. They sent a very cool picture of just being able to tell between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy, which I felt was very good. Because the voice of God never brings condemnation and shame. Never, ever. Even in the context of church, it's not about condemnation. It's about life, that even if God is correcting us, he is not correcting us to bring condemnation. He is not. He does not bring shame, because shame is of the enemy. So what he does, he speaks to us and corrects us and urges us that there is a better way to go. There is a better way to go. So, another cool thing that happened is that as he was dying, the curtain is the world is coming, the world is actually in chaos. You know, he is dying and it is all of a sudden it is getting night and it is not yet night time. Then there is tremblings and all manner of things. And you know, in the midst of all these things, people are still and asking themselves, what is happening? Yeah? So, we have been given access. You know, in Hebrews, Paul emphasizes, now we can boldly come. Never forget the aspect that no one can go and represent your issues better than you. Your table leader will come and present issues on your behalf. I will try and make issues and present them on your behalf. But I can't sell them the way you can sell them. You know, me, I'll just say, Lord, remember Gidi, now that Gidi is not here. Remember Gidi. Gidi needs a wife. No. Even if it is recorded, is that a bad prayer? It's not a bad prayer. Now you are coming to my point. Now, the details of all the other things, it is giddy to feel. Or, Lord, we are praying for Doros. They need new clients. The details of the type of client rest with Doros. Doros will fill in the gap. And so, this is to emphasize the point, gone are the days when we need to go and speak to a pastor to pray on our behalf. Gone are the days. If anybody asks me, come pray, there are times, yes, we can pray together, but we are agreeing in faith. Yeah. It is not me praying for you necessarily, but we are agreeing in faith. Because that whole mentality of super Christians, that has been washed away. I was even listening to Pastor Otibel speak about, you know, how Africans, we love bringing so much hierarchy that we are of different graces. You know, you operate in a very different grace. That is not biblical, by the way. That is not biblical. And I love how he was just illustrating that. So, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because one of the things when you read the book of Job, the book of Job chapter 1, chapter 2 speaks about how the angels of the Lord went to present themselves before the Lord. And it says even Satan was among them. But one of the features that we also read in that line of thought is the fact that when the devil was more courageous to speak in the presence of God than the angels. So we have a right. This is my main point. Out of what Christ has done, we have a right to not only appear in the Holy of Holies, but that we can also speak to God in the Holy of Holies, because it is not our righteousness. We do not stand there because of our righteousness. We stand there because of Christ's righteousness in us. So we can be able to speak. Okay. Let's keep moving. That is point A of what was not on the notes. So, a life map typically illustrates the journey of an individual's life. It can highlight milestones, experiences, and achievements. But more than that, one of the biggest things that we're trying to layer in, even when we're thinking about life maps, in our context, is to ask ourselves the question, what is Jesus saying in each particular milestone? In each particular experience that you've gone through, what were the lessons? Because I think sometimes we do not sit to reflect more on in terms of what lessons are we learning from the different things that have happened to us. If you are here and you've never tried to do this as an exercise, this is going to be very nice. This is going to be very enriching. This is going to be very rewarding. That we can ask ourselves, not just as we are going back, but even as we move forward, what were the lessons that God wanted us to learn in each of the seasons that we were in? So, if we are to look at, for example, the life of Jesus, I'll narrate some of the life maps or things that happened, then we'll narrow down to a specific area, then read a passage of scripture, then encourage ourselves one or two places, then we will pray. One, birth and early years. Birth, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, in a manger. At least that one is there, we people can remember. What was Frank saying? Jerusalem. Okay. the story of him visiting the temple while growing up. The years of preparation and growth. And you know, one of the things you can draw out even from his early years is one, the humility of God. The humility of God. You know, even till now, for me, I also get stuck and I have questions and I'm like, God, really? A manger? Really? And you know, it is out of the humility of God that that was the case. And you know, that in itself, the humility of being born in a manger, even till now, represents obstacle for others. Because even till now, there are those in Israel who are waiting for a political Messiah. Even till now, there are those who are waiting for a warrior king Messiah. And you know, part of why that was a reason was that even till the birth of Christ, that the Israelites had actually been put into, they were actually subjects of the Roman Empire. So they were waiting for someone to come and liberate them. So again, it's in saying this to say, oftentimes may our circumstances not blind us to the reality of what God is doing, because circumstances can blind people. So because there are circumstances that, like those, the birth and just the nature of how things were, that for others may look at it and say, this for me is a deal breaker in terms of why I will not believe in Jesus Christ. So hence, this means we have to be patient with people. We have to be loving with people. That even if they do not say yes the first time when they hear the message, we do not give up. We do not lose hope. We still are able to share the message, share the love, be friends. You know, being friends with someone who is unsaved is not against, it's not a sin. It's not a sin. If anything, you will model that love of Christ, and that in itself will be a testament. Yes, will be a testament. Because not everyone will just be sold with you giving them a theological narrative. Two, I think for me, his simple birth, you know, the accessibility that people had when he was born. You know, if you were to be asked to replay this storyline of his birth, who would you make to be the list on the guest list for who comes to see him? Huh? Mama Mboga. Yeah. Clearly that is not from here. That is from there. But again, the accessibility of the types of people who came to see him. And for me, that in itself tells a lot towards the fact that the kingdom of God is accessible to everyone. It is not a reserve for the few. It is not an elitist type of a group. It is not, you know, there was a day I went for, well, you know, sometimes you can get very interesting inspirations. I just played golf once, then felt inspired to go and ask at a country club membership, how does membership go? So, and you know, You know, sometimes there are things in your mind. You're like, you know, after there was one specific hole where I hit the ball so majestically and I imagined myself. Then I followed up by seeing, I watched another movie about golf. And it was a very interesting, I was sold. But then when I went, at the reception, I remember, it's somewhere. So I went and made an inquiry. So how, then they're like, you know, you can be a social member, or you can be now for the golfers. So I was like, that is my category. But then when they started laying out the requirements, no, for the golfers, I didn't want to listen to the social one. The social one, I'm like, social, I will socialize in church. For the golfers, when they reached point number three, I started asking myself questions. And I wondered, if these are the requirements, who will ever pass to become a member? So the kingdom of God is not that type of a membership whereby it is exclusive, whereby you cannot be able to enter. And you know, there's also the aspect of growth and learning. You know, it speaks of how Jesus grew in stature, in knowledge, in favor with God and man. So, you know, for me that means that growing is a community thing as well. It's not just about you yourself. And again, even as a grown-up, you still need to continue to grow. Growth does not stop, you know. Growth does not just stop when you reach 18. Growth does not stop when you reach 35 or 40. Growth. Ben, you're laughing. I'm not sure why. But growth does not stop. That's the main thing. Growth does not stop. Growth in the knowledge of God also does not need to stop. You do not just get to stop when you say, now I know the Lord as my personal Savior. That's enough. Mm-mm. Because there's more that will be required of you. More that will be required of you by others in terms of what is your knowledge of God. How has that grown? And you know, the more we grow, the more we position ourselves to handle more things. More things. When I came to faith, when I started my first month of preaching in school, I only knew two, three scriptures. John 3:16. My first sermon was John 3:16, because that one was the lightest. And then I knew John 11:35. And I loved that because, you know, for the better part of me, I couldn't understand. There's no other. I'm a historian. I love reading about all the other religions. I couldn't understand. For the first time, I was perplexed that in this religion called Christianity, that God is crying. How? Yes. But, you know, if I stood here years down the line, and all the scriptures that I had in my heart was John 11:35 and John 3:16, I would not be of use to any of you. So again, it's in saying growth is important as well in the kingdom of God. Continue being upskilled in what God has placed in your hands. Off the cuff, something that's just coming on top of my mind. You know, my heart has moved to really advocating for believers to be experts in the fields that they are called so that we can set the trends. So that we can set the trends. If you are waiting for another trendsetter, please shake your neighbor and tell their neighbor, please wake up. If you're waiting for another trendsetter, please wake up. Because in the line of work where you are, God is expecting you to be the trendsetter. God is expecting you to be the trendsetter. God is not calling you to mimic at you saw another business being done outside your door, so that's the best that God can do with you. Allow you to go and copycat, copy paste. Mm-mm. God is calling us to a place of innovation and trendsetting. And I am very passionate about that. So, wake up. Okay. Baptism and beginning of ministry, of course, being baptized in Jordan River, After that, being tempted, you know, it's very interesting. It was a very high moment, that time of baptism. And you know, you come from a high moment and you quickly move from a high moment into the wilderness. And you know, sometimes and oftentimes for me, this is how my journey has been. I come from a high moment. It's like you've come from a crusade and people have given their lives to Christ. Or there's something very spiritually significant you've never seen in your life that has just happened. And then the next minute, it's not a continuation of that same high, but it is a testing, because through the testing, you get to climb even to newer heights. Because growth does not happen when everything is okay. That's the reality of Christianity. It does not happen when you are here. It happens when you are here, and then all of a sudden, like Samuel, not like David, you are told your children and the women have been carried away. And the people that you are with start having a kamukunji, whether they should stone you who has just led them to a very high victory. Sorry, Ben, how many minutes? 15. Oh, Lord, give us wisdom. Okay, so as well, elements of submission to God's will is evident during this period of time in Jesus. Then I want to submit to us a proposal. That there is a difference between being submitted to the thought of submission and actually being submitted to God. Because one remains to be just but a thought, never acted upon, never implemented, but it remains that I love the idea of submitting to God, but not actually submitting. And the other is as dangerous but yet rewarding, because there is an actual submission towards God and what God is saying. And you know, we can never confuse these two things, because they are not one and the same. One, there is a heart that is willing that no matter what God says, and as sure as you can know that it is God, you will be able to do it. The other one will toy and ask the question, is it necessary for me to actually do what God is saying? And lives that have the fingerprint of God will always have a significant amount of yes towards what God is saying, even in difficult moments. Because if we do not trust Him with our lives, then we cannot just keep expecting His promises to come alive. We have to walk the walk. That's the essence of this. We have to walk the walk. No matter how good it is, if he has said no, you'll not start saying, you know, God, you need to understand. Especially in this generation that we are in, whereby no is almost not an answer. And even that, you know, that patiently waiting on God as an essence needs to be revived, because we grow our strength in the waiting. It is not that when we are waiting, God has denied us, but that even in the waiting, God is preparing and fashioning ourselves and our hearts so that when that door opens, we are ready. You know, this week, I also sat down with Marcus, because we've walked together for a number of years. Marcus was in a very particular table. That table, all of the people who were in that table, very few left. No, all of them left for work outside Kenya. All of them. All of them. Marcus was the only one remaining. The remnant. So I asked Marcus, Marcus, if this opportunity had opened itself 2 years down the line, do you think you'd have been ready? And he outrightly looked and said, I do not think I would be ready. It has been painful, yes. It has been filled with so many ups and downs and learnings, but I appreciate the fact that God has kept me. And now I feel more ready even to go. You know, and I feel like saying this. You know, there are those in business that we are waiting for some specific clients. But if we get some clients now, maybe even here you will not be here. But because God is gracious enough, he is teaching our hearts that our hearts are not moved. You know, by the time Paul comes and says, you know, I have learned how to be content, whether in much, whether in little, I have learned. Because you're saying, I have gone through both scenarios of life and I have known that all those things should not be able to move my heart. But that I will remain humble regardless. Because some of these things takes you going through that road of not having to a point of having and knowing, you know, in all these things, God be praised. Sorry, today we've gone around quite a number of rabbit holes, but let's continue. So, servant leadership, of course, was very evident in the leading of Christ. Identification with humanity, just him going to be baptized. Compassion, you know. It's not just, it's for me, it's not just that the crying moves me about my Savior, but the fact that, you know, in all the things that he had to do, he never bypassed people. Whenever anyone cried out to him in the Bible, he always made a stop. He always made a turn. He always makes room in the Bible. And I believe even in our context here and now, he will always make room for you as long as you call on him. He always makes room. He always stops. And you know, I would imagine as a preacher, he's moving around in places. And you know, in his heart, he's eager to go and give a message. But in the eagerness to give a message, when Vincent from down there is crying out, Jesus! Even if he was going in a different direction, he stops. He's like, Vincent is calling me. In the midst of everything that is happening, Jesus, he stops. Don't lose sight of the fact that even now, 2,000 years after he was hanged on the cross, that he still has provision to stop when you call him. That he will still stop when you call him. He will still come even when nobody else will be able to know even if you're in need. You know, I've said this story. There was 2021 when I was unwell. You know, I'm there, I am, and it has happened even in reverse. I'm there, I'm sleeping, and I'm feeling bad. When I look, my wife Simba is soundly asleep. And you know, you do not want to start doing this. At please, could you wake up? But then in the midnight hour, because it was 2 a.m., I'm there. I'm feeling like the world is coming to an end. I'm like, enyewe, this is the best time to call Jesus, if early. And you know, I called him and he answered. So I know he still has people and compassion in there. 3, public ministry and outreach as another point in his life map. Healing the sick and performing miracles. Preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Parables and teachings throughout Galilee, Judea. Feeding the multitude. Transfiguration. You know, and you know, things like faith and trust, things that we can pick up on him. That Jesus' miracles demonstrate the power of faith and the importance of trusting in God's provision and intervention. Kingdom values, again, things that you can pick up on. Sorry, just running through. Then we come towards part of what we've tried to describe. Days leading up to his death in Jerusalem. One, there's a triumphant entry, you know, people laying down the figs, and you know, him riding on a donkey. Humility again. I mean, why would you ride in a donkey? Why not a horse? But our Lord and Savior is very humble. And you know, coming in, cleansing the temple, Last Supper with the disciples, agony at Gethsemane, betrayal and arrest, trial before Pontius Pilate, crucifixion, death and burial. And you know, for me, that for me shows sacrificial love. One of the best quotes I've ever read is, Jesus had me in mind 2,000 years ago, and that kept him on the cross. He didn't have to, but he had me and you in mind, so he stayed there. Again, victory over death, which we've emphasized. One of the other cool things, this is a very cool thing that happened as he was dying all those number of days, is that Jesus went and waged war with the devil over the keys of death. And he came out victorious. And that is why in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 to 18, there's this narration that is put out, and let me read it from the Amplified Version. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the absolute deity, the Son of God, and the ever-living one, living in and beyond all time and space. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore. And I do what? I have the keys of absolute control and victory over death and of Hades, the realm of the dead." So that was the last victory that was needed by Jesus Christ, which he got. Let's move. How many minutes, Ben? They're done. Communion and fellowship. You know, he chose to have communion and fellowship with the disciples, even leading up to his death. Again, we emphasize tables because Christ emphasized tables. If there's anything that you can draw out from the life of Christ, is that Christ loved to eat with people. Kwa Kiswahili it sounds even better. Alipenda kukula na watu. So he loved eating with people. Because when he ate with people, life happened. The early church was formed out of people meeting together, not in church alone, but meeting in homes and eating and drinking and sharing life. So if you're not a part of table, join table. Hello? Hello? Join table. This is big enough for you to turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, join a table. And ask them, which table are you going to, by the way? Not the Lord's table. So, let's then read just this story. It's just 20 scriptures, 20 verses, then we wrap up. 20 verses, then we wrap up. 20 verses, then we wrap up. Yes, we have to read this because this wraps the story up because we've talked about all the way leading to his death. Yeah. So what happens after? So we are picking up the story in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And one, Matthew 28, this same narration of the story is in Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20. And I say all this so that as homework, go and read the others that we are not going to read for an in-depth look for yourself. One, I've picked as well Mark 16 because Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16 are the shortest narrations of the resurrection. The others, of course, are longer because of the different angle of the narration that is given. So you can fill in more gaps when you read the longer narration, and it can help you fill in any questions that you may have. Are you ready? From the Amplified Version, it says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome purchased sweet-smelling spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they were saying to one another, listen to this question that they're asking themselves, who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Yet, that did not stop them from attempting to go. They had such a zeal. Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, though it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, wearing a long, stately white robe, and they were amazed and bewildered. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter." You know, it's very interesting. And you know, the Bible does not misspeak. Because it says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Because this was Peter still dealing with the whole aspect of him having rejected Jesus. So for some time, Peter must have felt like a sinner. But again, because God does not bring shame, even in the midst when we err, he is mentioning Peter by name specifically so that Peter can know that he is still part of the family. So that even when people are dealing with sin, we are not out in the business of shaming people because we have to continue to nudge them. Dust off, you're still part of the family. That's the key. Let's continue. He is going, where are we?
Verse 7.
Ah, thank you. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you. They went out and fled from the tomb, for they were seized with trembling and astonishment. And they said nothing about it to anyone because they were afraid. Remember, they were told to go and tell what they had seen, that in actual fact, that what Christ had said had come to pass. That he is no longer dead, but he is alive. But they were afraid. May fear not prevent us from keeping on in telling people about God Christ being alive and not dead because of how people will perceive us. Because for them, they started to ask a question. How will people perceive us if we start telling them that he is no longer dead but alive? They are like, people will think we are crazy and we are mad. How? Yet all this while before he left, Christ was preparing them and telling them that on the third day, because I am the resurrection and the life. Let's continue. We're in verse 9. Now Jesus, having risen from death early on the first day of the week, you know, Christ does things early. He rose early on the day that he had said. He did not want to waste time. Appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and reported it to those who had been with him. At least Mary was obedient. While they were mourning and weeping, when they heard that he was alive, and had been seen by her, they did not believe it. They did not believe it. Let me try and wrap up. I'm getting over myself over the story, and I'm feeling like just continuing on. A parable is said about the great banquet, whereby a great feast was prepared. But then, when the owners came to look at who was attending the banquet, they realized that there was too much food and very few people. And that even those that were invited to come in had not come in. So he said, go out and do what? And invite even those who are not part of this party to come in. But more than that, he was like, go to the byways and to the corners of the streets and announce, there is a free party. Follow me. There is free food. There is health. And there's crazy music. The DJ is on fire. But more than just a normal party, this is a party that will continue on and on and on. And you know, this is a party we've been invited to be a part of. This is a party whereby all you need to enter in is faith. And that as you come in, that we are coming into a place whereby there is no more tears. There is no more sorrows. As we anticipate for us to be with the Lord, the ultimate DJ. Where there is light and there is just a flow of gold. So what will we do with this message of Christ being alive? That's a question that God asked me. What will we do with this message of him being alive? Because this message is too good for you to keep to yourself. But that, like that parable of the banquet, we are to go to the byways and to the highways and to invite. It is not just enough for you to know that Christ is alive. It is not just enough for you to say, hallelujah, he's alive. I am excited, I am happy. It's not just enough if you do not bring that excitement to someone else. Ouch. The truth hurts. And as we get more excited about this party, man, it would be bad if we do not ensure that this party is full. Man, it will be very sad if all that food has to go to waste. Man, it will be so sad if your brother, your sister, your neighbor is not in this party. Man, it will be sad if unbelief will rob people of being able to know that he is alive. You know, funny thing, the message that Christ gave after he was resurrected is that now he did the commissioning. When you read, when you continue reading in chapter from 16, he did the commissioning, and in a way he was like, now, you know, if it was the British monarch, I know this is a bit controversial. Everyone was knighted. The disciples were knighted. They were knighted and they were like, now go and knight others and bring them on board. Well, yeah, for the knights are not bringing people on board. Let's scrap that. They were being commissioned. They were being commissioned so that they can now be able to go. They were being commissioned so that now, after getting this good news, that now they can share what they had seen, because he came and appeared to them. And it was dawning to them as a reality that that which he was telling them for 3.5 years was an actual truth. That he died, that he has resurrected, and that if we place our trust in him, that we too shall live and not die. That it does not matter the state of the things that we've been struggling with, the things that we were wrestling with, the things that we were contending with, but that there is good news that is to be shared. First, we consume it ourselves. And that after we've consumed it to ourselves, we know that life has happened in us. And because life has happened in us, that we will be gracious enough that we will go and share this life to others. I am more excited this year more than any other year, because I am like, God, you are alive. And I do not want to waste time with what I have learned. I do not want to waste time with that which you have already put in my hands. Because it is not just in my hands, but it is also in your hands. You may not even feel as if you qualify to be his servant. Today I declare in the name of the Lord that you are the one who has been commissioned. This side, Asanteni San. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This side, I need to look at Sumi straight in her eyes. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are the one who has been commissioned. At your workplace, do not expect any other person, any other prophet to come. You are the prophet at your workplace. You are God's hand and feet at your workplace. You are God's mouthpiece at your workplace. You are God's servant at your workplace. And God is expecting you to rise to the occasion and say, this news is too big for me to keep it as a secret. And you know, I can imagine those women. They were perplexed and bewildered, but yet, if they ever ran as fast as they did, that was the first time they would have won 100 meter races. Because they were excited for the first time. They had news, and it was news that everyone else needed to hear. You have news that everyone else needs to hear. And that God will be able to speak to us. Sorry, we are way past time. But let me just give you four things. One, two, three, four. Actually, five things. Just proof of resurrection. If I can call it that way, proofs of resurrection. You know, one, Christ's resurrection notified by an angel to the women to come to the place. The angel appeared to the women first. That is from verse 1 to 8. Two, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And the account that she gave to the disciples. Verse 9 to 11. Three, he also appeared to two disciples going to Emmaus. You know, God is very interesting. There is nothing that is done out of coincidence. Hopefully we'll get time to look at the Emmaus people. He appeared to two disciples going to Emmaus. Three, then he appeared to 11 with the commission he gave them to set up his kingdom in the world with full instructions and credentials. And that's why those credentials, I believe, are also for us here and now. And then, whilst he was there with the disciples, he ascended to the heavens. And you know, out of that, there are many that also are there to see him ascending to heaven. Let's stand up on our feet. Even as we stand, even as communion is handed out, I pray that Christ be rebirthed in our hearts, that a fresh unction will be, we will take a fresh unction in ourselves. I'm going to make one prayer, Lord. Help me with one. Thank you. Oh, and Frank. I'm just going to pray for those who are here and do not feel like they are able ministers to carry this gospel forward. But that we will understand that in 2024, that God has entrusted us who are here and the church to be the ministers to take the gospel of Christ forward. It may look very different from how it was done previously. It may look like you being Vincent the preacher on TikTok. It may look like you being Bev the preacher on Instagram. But let me ask you, if not you, then who? Are you? If not you, then who? If not you in your business, then who? If not you in your family, then who? If not you taking a stand and saying, here I stand. I receive this message. I receive this good news. And I am going to stand with it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We bless you, Father, for all that you have done and all that you have continued to do. Holy Spirit, I pray, thank you that you are the one who has made us to be able ministers of the gospel. Lord, I pray that may you have your words permeate in our hearts. Let a fresh zeal be set on our hearts. Let a new fire be reignited in our hearts. That, Lord, we shall be like Jeremiah, who said, if I closed my mouth, I felt like a fire was burning deep inside my bones. Lord, even give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Give us a fresh pledge of allegiance. A fresh allegiance to you, the Lamb of God. A fresh allegiance to the gospel. And a fresh allegiance to stand up for our generation. Thank you for having died on the cross. Thank you for having resurrected. Thank you that even now you are here in this room. Jesus Christ, Holy One of Israel, we worship you, Lord. We glorify your holy name. 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 Be thou magnified in our hearts, in our minds. Be thou magnified. Be thou lifted up, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord, even as we take communion this morning, we take it in remembrance of what you have done. We take in remembrance of your victory over death, hell, and the grave. We thank you for your victory that, Lord, you've given in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that, Lord, you've given. That, Lord, we are standing in new ground, in a new place, in the Holy of Holies. So, Lord, we thank you. So, Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your body that was beaten and bruised, that, Lord, we may find wholeness and healing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those who need healing this morning, including myself. Knowing that, Lord, you have continued to heal even today. We thank you for the cup that represents a new covenant that is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that, Lord, is even as we partake, we declare and decree, bless the Lord, all our souls. You have you who has forgiven us of all our sins. You who has healed us of all diseases, to you be the glory, the honor, the adoration, for there is none like you. We thank you, Father, and we bless you.